Take your Bible tonight, the book of Acts, if you would, Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I knew there was another sermon in here in this chapter, and I've been trying to figure out what it was, and the Lord helped me, so going to preach that sermon to you tonight. And this is a good night to preach it. It's Mother's Day, Sunday evening, and a lot of times attendance is not as good on Sunday evening as it normally would be because folks get wound up in family matters and they forget to show up for church. But you're here, and I'm glad you're here. Just want to encourage you tonight, all right? Not going to castigate you. Just want to encourage you. Really challenge us a little bit. We're going to read the same verses we read the last time I preached out of Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Now I want you to keep your Bible open. We're not through in the chapter, but we'll look at some more verses. The last time I preached to you out of this chapter, I told you Peter was in a very perilous and precarious situation. Herod fully intended to do the same thing to Peter that he had done to James. Fully intended to kill him. And it did look bad for him. However, we find those wonderful words in verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Those folks did the right thing in praying. And they directed that prayer in the right direction. It was unto God. Amen. And undoubtedly, they got the Lord's attention. Yes, right. I say that because of what we find in the rest of the chapter. Yes, sir. God intervened on behalf of Peter. Amen. In answer to the prayer of his children. Yes, God's people prayed and God intervened. My friend, let me tell you, when God intervenes, everything changes. Oh, what a difference it makes when God intervenes. So I want you to look at that thought with me. When God intervenes, number one, freedom is given. Freedom is given. You see there in verse 7, notice closely what the Bible says. The Bible says there in verse 7, the chains fell off. Right. Fell off. They weren't unlocked. They were not broken, and they were not cut. They fell off, providing freedom for Peter. Well, can I just point it out? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Now, man can bring the keys. Man can hand over the hacksaw. But only God can make them fall off. And that's what happened. That gave freedom to Peter, who had been there in prison and awaiting probably a death sentence. But man, God's people prayed, God intervened, and the freedom came. When God intervenes, all right, on our behalf, you say, well, I've never been in prison chained up the way he was. Me either. But I want to tell you this, when he intervenes on our behalf, the chains of sin fall off. The chains of sin fall off. He forgives us. He gives us a new life. It is a new life of freedom. Keep your place here in Acts, but go to Romans. Romans chapter 6, would you? Romans chapter 6. When he intervenes on our behalf, there is a new life of freedom that comes our way. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, we became the servants of righteousness. Then verse 20, from when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But look at verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Hey, freedom that comes to us. Now I want to point it out to you. It's not freedom to sin.
No, sir.
Not freedom to sin. Some people look at the liberty that we have in Christ and say, well, I can do anything I want to. Well, I can do anything I want to. But God just changed the wanter, all right? God just made a difference in that. But that freedom is not a freedom to sin. It is a freedom from sin, if you will. We're no longer enslaved by sin. We mentioned this morning, part of the Sunday school lesson, where we're freed from sin so that we can turn around and serve the Lord, all right? God does that to you. Freed from sin in our bodies. We're not no longer held captive to that sin. Now, we still have problems with it, but you don't have to be held captive anymore to sin. Hey, the lost man, he's going to sin. That is definitely the only nature he has. That's the only nature he's got at all, is that to sin, to give in to the flesh, to give in to the lust that comes because of it. But you and I that have been born again, you and I who are saved, we're freed from that. We no longer have to do that. God gives us a new nature. And that new nature, that new spirit, that new man, if you will, has a desire to do right. And if we'll yield to the Spirit of God that lives in us, we can be free from the power of sin. We can be free. Hey, I tell you what, you're already freed from the penalty. You're already free from the penalty. You have everlasting life. The penalty for sin's death. Man, you don't have to worry about that. You've been freed from that. If you're saved, if you're here tonight, you've been freed from that penalty. You ain't born again, on your way to heaven. I'm not worried about the penalty of sin, all right? And one of these days, you'll be freed totally from the power of sin. God's going to take us out of here, all right? But you and I no longer have to live as slaves to sin. Peter was freed physically in that prison cell. Those chains fell off. Well, you and I are freed spiritually. God's done something for us, okay? What a wonderful blessing that is. That is something that you and I ought to look at, we ought to consider on a regular basis and realize, man, thank God, don't have to live that way anymore. Amen. Just don't have to live like that. I mean, there's a difference been made. You know, God's done something for us when He saved our soul. Man, there's freedom. When God intervenes, there's freedom. We have freedom. We have freedom. Not a license to sin, but a freedom now to serve the Lord, all right? Just to give Him your life and serve Him and do what He'd have you to do, all right? But I want you to notice something else. Look in verse 8. Verse 8 there in Acts chapter 12. The Bible says that, you know, I can't help but think there's old Peter, and he's sound asleep in prison, and the angel had to smite him on the side and say, hey, get up, all right? You know, get up, we're getting out of here. Verse 8, we find this. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. Hey, get your clothes ready, put your feet, shoes on. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee. And notice those last two words. Follow me. Follow me. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Hey, listen, when God intervenes, there will always be leadership. There will always be leadership. When He called His disciples there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over again, it was follow me. Right. Follow me. That's the invitation. That is the call. Follow me. Follow me. So what's the invitation to me today? If you've trusted Him as Savior, the invitation now is follow me. Right. Follow me. He wants you to follow Him. Why? He provides leadership. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that God does not just set us free and leave us on our own. I'm glad He doesn't do that. Set us free and leave us on our own. Okay, go ahead. Well, wait a minute. I need a little direction, all right? The chains fell off in that cell, but He was still behind bars, okay? Chains fell off, but He was still behind bars. I'm sure that place was dark. I'm sure that place was dark. Now, I've been told by a fellow that was a member of our church that made it his point in life to be in every jail in Fort Worth. And I visited him in most of them. And he said one of the hardest things is, said they never turn the lights off. That man, somebody's been there too. All right, and I say, all right, that's good. Good of you just confess right here in front of everybody, all right? They never turn the lights off, is what they told me, all right? And so he said, I'm there, it's hard to sleep, man. Said, you can't get any rest. Lights are on all the time. Hey, but I don't believe it was that way in those prisons. For one thing, there was no electricity. Even when the lights were on, I don't believe it was very bright. There were no skylights in the building, okay? Man, they were dark places, all right? Dark places he was in, still behind bars. There were no exit signs shining. They would have never passed the muster of all the city requirements today. No exit signs. No exit signs. I mean, light went off, it was just dark. That being the case, though, God told that angel, hey, you lead him out. You lead him out. Aren't you glad God doesn't save you and then desert you? Instead, he says, follow me. I'll give you some leadership. When he intervenes, there's always going to be leadership provided for us, all right? He's not going to leave you in the dark as to what to do. Doesn't leave you in the dark at all. His invitation's plain and simple. It's just you come follow me. Just follow me. You said, it's too hard. I can't do that. Anybody can follow somebody else. Anybody can follow somebody else if they want to. If they want to. I was driving down 820 one day, going west, out past 35, headed west, and I saw a car sitting on the side of the road there, off on the shoulder good, and as it turned out, it was a woman, and her hand was out the window. And I don't know what made me stop, but I thought, you know, that just looks like there's a problem. So I pulled off in front and stopped and got out and went back and talked to her. And she was thoroughly confused. Really, you know, thoroughly confused, trying to tell me where she wanted to go. And I told her, I said, well, I'll help you. I said, now, if you'll follow me, I said, and when we get to the exit, coming up on the exit, where you need to get off, the one you're talking about looking for, I said, I'm going to put my hand out the window and I'll point so you'll know it's right there, all right? Yes, sir, I got it. So I got back in my car and I pulled out on the loop and she pulled out behind me and we drove along there and we got up to her exit and I put out my hand and I did this and she drove right by that exit. She may be still circling Fort Worth on Loop 820, I'm not sure. You know, but I was trying to help her find that right place. God says to us, follow me. Follow me. Hey, there's going to be some days you're going to say it's dark. It's dark. Don't worry about it. What does the Lord say? He said, follow me. Follow me. I'm not sure what to do. Do what God says. Follow him. Follow him. He lived here on this earth for 33 years. We've got a good, solid record for a lot of that time. Just do what he did. Do what he did. That's the way you handle it. Hey, when God intervenes, there's going to be freedom, but it doesn't stop with there. There's going to be leadership. God is going to lead us, all right? He'll lead you in this old life if you'll let him do it. But that's not all. And I really like this point. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Now, Peter's gotten out of prison. He's finally convinced himself, well, I wasn't dreaming. And he gets out and he's going along and he goes to the house of the folks there and house of Mary, the mother of John. And that's where many people were together praying for him. And he knocked on the door. Oh, I don't understand this at all. I could say something, but it would get me in a lot of trouble. All right. So I'm not going to say it. But Rhoda answered the door and she looked out. She said, you know, who is it? Said, how you know she said that? Well, it says when she knew Peter's voice. Yeah, right. So she had to say something, all right? And he said something. She recognized his voice. He's knocking on the door to get in, but she doesn't let him in. Heavenly days, you know, you're there. They're praying for him. She doesn't let him in. She goes and tells everybody else, hey, Peter's at the door. He's knocking on the door. And they said, no, he ain't. No, he ain't. It had to be Baptist people. We're praying, but we don't believe God's going to answer. We don't really believe God's going to do it, you know. And so there they were. They were praying. And there he shows up at the door. And they said, no, it's not him. They got to arguing about it. No, who is it? But I like what's in verse 16. Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, I want to say finally, and saw him, notice what it says. They were astonished. They were astonished. Hey, when God intervenes, there's going to be some surprises. There's just going to be some surprises, all right? They couldn't believe it was him. I suppose if he hadn't kept knocking, he'd never have gotten in, but he stayed knocking, you know? And he just kept after it. And it surprised, but notice who was surprised. This was the believers. This was the crowd that said, hey, we're praying for it to happen. That'd be like Cowboy fans. Cowboys in the Super Bowl. I know it's a dream, but if the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl, they're there and all the fans pack out the stadium, you know, and they win by 3 touchdowns. And everybody looks at each other and say, can't believe it. I'm surprised. Well, you spent the money for the ticket, didn't you? You bought all the paraphernalia. Yeah, you bought the jersey so you could wear a jersey to the game. And all of that, and then you say, I'm surprised they won. Well, man, I thought you was counting on it, you know? Well, here are these believers there gathered together at Mary's house, the mother of John. They were praying, and God answered their prayer, and the Bible said, we can't believe it. They were surprised about it. Hey, but look again. Look down at verse 18. You think they were surprised. It wasn't just when God intervened, it wasn't just the believers that were surprised. Verse 18, now as soon as it was day, man, I love the way the Bible, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. All those soldiers looking around say, hey, where'd Peter go? And you talk about surprise, they were surprised. Chains are still here. Soldiers guarding him are still here. None of them said anything happened last night. None of them have a bump on the head. And somebody stole him away, you know, broke in and got him out. No, nothing wrong with the walls. They're all in good shape. The locks are still good. They're still locked. Well, where's he? There was some surprise, you know. I mean, they were scratching their head. They were wondering, where'd he go? Where did he go? You know, I can't help it. I was thinking about this and thinking about when God intervenes, what happens. I feel this way. I think sometimes it'd be great to be able to say, I'm never surprised at what God does. But on the other hand, he surprises me. He surprises me. Man, he does things. I'm so glad that we serve a God who's so great that I get surprised at what he does. You say, preacher, don't you pray believing? Yes. I pray asking him. I pray believing. But I'm just like that crowd at Mary's house that night. I'm human. Hey, I'm glad I'm still surprised at what he does. He said, what do you mean? Well, hey, I'm glad when he saves a soul that I'd begun to think would never get saved. I'm glad he's still in that business. He still saves souls. And boy, that's an encouragement to me. Keep praying. Keep praying for people to get saved. Keep calling out to God. Don't quit doing it. It's all right when you get to hear one day they got saved. It come as a surprise, but it can be a wonderful surprise. I'm glad he does that. You know what? I'm also glad he still brings the prodigal back. Oh, man, I like that. I'm glad to see that. It's a surprise. I'm glad to look up and see people in church that have been out maybe for years and come. Boy, I hope our attitude would never be, where have you been? I hope our attitude would always be, thank God, we're so glad you came back. We're so glad you came back. I'm glad God's in that business. I'm glad that we get surprised that way. I'm so glad he surprises us by restoring the wounded and lifting up the fallen. What a blessing that is. That's something to be encouraged about. I'm glad he surprises us because he intervenes on our behalf. Glory to God. I don't tell you, I like that kind of surprise. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he still surprises us. Hey, when God intervenes, freedom is given. When God intervenes, there's leadership. There's leadership. When God intervenes, there's going to be some people surprised. But don't you look at lastly. Would you look down at verse 24? Look down in verse 24 of Acts chapter 12. Notice what the Bible said. But the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. Now, we didn't read this part, but that happened right after the death of Herod. We're talking about Herod in chapter 12, verse 1. Herod got the idea and he killed James, all right? Had James, a brother of John, killed with a sword. Got excited about it. People seemed happy, so he said, we're going to do it again. Let's kill Peter. Now, God said, not going to happen. I'll intervene. Later on, though, a little bit later on, old Herod's over there, and he was upset with some people that, kind of been out of shape about it. So he gave a speech, and they all began to say, hooray, hooray for Herod. And Herod thought he was a catch meow. Now, that's in the Greek. You've got to read the Greek to be able to get that, all right? But he thought that's what he was, all right? And God killed him. God killed him. What did God do? God intervened. When God intervenes, notice, the word of God grew and multiplied. You can mark her down. When God intervenes, it's not for the purpose of lifting up man. It's not for that purpose. It's not to cause you and I to praise men. That is not the purpose, all right? It will always be the means to cause the word of God to grow and multiply. He's going to magnify his word. There are people today that get excited and bent out of shape at those of us that believe this old King James Bible is the word of God. It's not to be swapped off for something else. And they think, man, you know, it's all right. But wait a minute. Go to Psalm 138, would you? Psalm 138 in the Bible. Psalm 138, won't you look at one verse here? Psalm 138, look in verse 2 if you would. The psalmist said this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Amen. I want to tell you, God thinks this book and his word's important. God thinks his word is important. Hey, it shouldn't surprise us that when God intervenes, his word is magnified. I believe when God intervenes, people get interested in what the word of God has to say. When God intervenes, people get interested in it. Hey, we get surprised sometimes by the events of this world, and then they think, well, maybe God does have something to say to me. The events of this world take place and they begin to get interested in it. By the way, he does have something to say to you and me. He's got something. It is his word that is to be lifted up. It is his word that is to be magnified. We're to magnify his word. Why? Because God's intervened. God's intervened in your life, hadn't he? God intervened in your life. God done something for you. Man, I'm glad he intervenes. I don't know about you, but I want him to intervene in my life. I want him to intervene. I'm not one of those people that go around and say, would you just leave me alone? Not me. Not me. I'm one of those that say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I'll tell you, I love the freedom that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the freedom that I have in him. With all the don'ts that are in the Bible, you hear me, with all the don'ts that are in the Bible, I'm much more free than the one who thinks he can do anything. And you are too. Now, I mean by observing those don'ts, you're much more free. You're much more free. Say, well, I don't like the restriction of that stoplight, so I'm going to run it. If it's red, don't matter to me. I'm going through it. But your freedom may get restricted. Your freedom may get restricted. I could talk to you about two young fellows that used to be in the youth department of this church. They thought it was okay to drink and drive. Both of them are quadriplegics today because they thought it was okay to drink and drive. Both of them, I hadn't seen them in a long time, got word they were in the hospital, went to the hospital to see them. Both of them are laying in the bed. One of them still had that halo around his head where it was screwed into his head where his head wouldn't move because he had broken his neck in that car wreck, and he no longer had control of his hands, and he couldn't walk anymore. And, you know what? It's a good thing when God intervenes on your behalf. You ought to do what he says. You ought to observe what he says. There's a lot of people say, don't tell me what I can't do, preacher. Okay, go ahead. See where it takes you, all right? I'm telling you, I'm a lot more free observing the don'ts that God has laid down than this person in the world is who's decided I can do anything I want. And you are too, and you need to remember that, all right? I've got it. I got that freedom. I like it. And I'll tell you something else. I don't know about you, but I need his leadership, don't you? Don't you need to know, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to follow you. I want to know your will. I want to follow, and what I do, I want it to be following you. At the same time, I tell you, I like it when he surprises me. When he surprises me, it brings a smile to my lips. It puts a smile on my face to see what God does. Man, you ever have that happen to you? Let God surprise you because he's intervened in your life. You know, sometimes we think, I got it all planned out. Got it all figured right down the line. And then God intervenes. And we realize, that's a lot better than what I had. That's a lot better than my idea. I'm glad God intervened. I'm glad he intervened. Hey, I don't know about you, but I like it when his word's lifted up. I like to go places where they're lifting up this book. I like to go places where they're preaching this book. I like to be there. And you say, well, you're a preacher. Yeah, but I like to be preached too. I enjoy it when somebody's preaching. Go for it. Let her go. One of the great things of YouTube to me is I can access sermons of guys that have been dead for years. And I hit in. Some of them I didn't know they had anything online whatsoever, and I run across it accidentally. I don't think it's really an accident. I think the Lord puts it there. And man, I can listen and have a good time and say amen and get preached to and get right, you know. Hey, when God intervenes, will you let him intervene in your life? Would you just let him intervene in your life? Don't live your life as if to say, Lord, I don't want you in it. Leave me alone. Let me do my thing. Not me. Not me. I guarantee you, if I find myself in prison, shackled between some soldiers in chains, I really hope he shows up. I really hope he shows up. You know, I hope he'll come. I hope he will, you know. Listen, when God intervenes, everything changes. Everything changes. He can change your life. Change your life totally if you'll let him do it. Just let him get in. Let him come, all right? And when he says, get up and follow me, get up and follow him. Amen. Just go, all right? Just go. Go where he leads. Go where he points. Well, I don't know where we're going. That's okay. Go. When I was youth director, one of my favorite things to do was have what amounted to a mystery youth activity. I'd say, we're going this time, we're going, you be here. Where we're going, be here. Just come. Just be here, we'll see. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Hey, we want everything laid out. God's not necessarily going to lay it all out, but he wants us to follow him. Let him intervene in your life, would you? I don't believe Peter got there with those folks and said, man, I was having a good time in jail. I wish he'd have left me alone. Don't believe he said that. I believe it was rejoicing. He said, hey, thanks for praying. Thanks for praying. God intervened. He can do it for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to realize the Word of God's true. Lord, we read about what happens to other people and we think, never happened to me. But Lord, you'll intervene in our life. Oh, maybe not exactly the same way you did for Peter. But Lord, there's something you want to do for us and in us and through us. Dear God, help us.